Blog Talk Radio.
Here's Galchenyuk, dancing in, scores! And now it's Gallagher. Gallagher stepping in there, shoots, scores! Alex Galchenyuk up for the drop. Look at it. He's in alone, waiting. Scores!
Hello, monsieur. Ladies and gentlemen, Axel Yellow, Leo Galchenyuk.
Oh, my stars! What a stop by Carey Price. Robin Sidney Crosby.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net with your host, Chris G.
All right, hi everybody. Welcome to episode 204 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, March 25th, 2017. My name is Chris G, and you can follow me on Twitter at ChrisG1980. Since last Saturday's episode, Canadians have played four games, a big weekend, back-to-back against the Ottawa Senators, and the Canadians came out winners in both of those games by a score of 4-3 in Ottawa on Saturday and by a score of 4-1 on Sunday. So easy time for the Montreal Canadiens for those two games. And then on Tuesday, Canadiens continued. Game number two of their six-game homestand. They lost to the Detroit Red Wings by a score of 2-1 in overtime. And then on Thursday, they lost 4-1 to the Carolina Hurricanes. So we're going to talk about all the four games today's episode. So what does that look for the standings for the Montreal Canadiens? 74 games played. There's only 8 games remaining in the regular season. They have a record of 41-24-9. Gives them 91 points. It places them first place in the Atlantic Division. Right behind them are the Ottawa Senators, who have one game in hand and are 1 point behind the Montreal Canadiens. So ironically, it's pretty much the exact same spot where they were 7 days ago when we were looking at the standings together. And well, if the playoffs started today, the Canadiens would be facing the New York Rangers in the playoffs. So is that good news or bad news? Well, the Canadiens have had a success against the Rangers this season. Our question of the day: what should the Habs do differently to generate more scoring? They've had trouble scoring in the last little while. We're going to talk about that as well. So leave us your comments on the All Habs Facebook page, and you can also leave them on our Twitter account at Habs360. And speaking of the Habs360 Twitter account, we've posted a poll question, and the poll question is, what position should Alex Galchenyuk play for the remainder of the season? The two options, center or left wing. And we're going to talk about that topic as well later on today's episode. Now, joining me now, my co-host for today's episode, he's editor-in-chief and owner of the All Habs Network of Sites. You can follow him on Twitter at All Habs. It's Rick Stevens. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great, Chris. Glad to be here. We're getting close to the playoffs, so this is getting this is an exciting time of year.
It is an exciting time of the year, and while Claude Julien talks about a rotation, and Rick, it looks like you're not part of the rotation because you're back again this week.
glad to be in the lineup today. Thanks for putting me in, Coach.
And now it's time for this week's winners and losers on Habs 360.
The most popular segment in the world of podcasting are winners and losers here on the Habs 360 podcast. And well, every week, myself and Rick, we each name a winner, we each name a loser of the past 7 days related to the Montreal Canadiens. And well, the Canadiens have lost their last two games. overall a pretty negative tone around the Canadians. So we're going to begin with our losers for this week. And I'll go first. And, well, when it comes to the Canadians' top line this week for the two games against the Senators and the game against the Detroit Red Wings, the first line was Pacioretty, Galchenyuk, and Radulov. And then for, in the game against the Carolina Hurricanes, the first line was Pacioretty with Dano and Radulov. And well, regardless who was at center, whether it was Galchenyuk, whether it was Dano, that first line, you know, it sucked for the whole week. So what's the common denominators in both those combinations? It's Max Pacioretty and Alex Radulov. So I'm going to nominate them as my losers of the week. When we look at Max Pacioretty, he scored two goals in the last 11 games, and both those goals were in the same game against the Edmonton Oilers. It was a game where the Canadians were down. They came back in the third period to win. He scored a pair of goals, and so did Paul Byron. But besides that, he hasn't scored. He's at the 33 goals for the season, where it seemed that he would easily get the 40-goal mark. Well, now he has seven goals that he has to score with the eight games remaining to reach that plateau. Is he going to get it? It's pretty tight. And we know that Pacioretty, he's a streaky goal scorer. If he wants to get it, he has to go into one of those streaks, and he has to get into it pretty quick. I would say even starting tonight against the Ottawa Senators. Pacioretty, lately, during this time, or if we keep it to this week, he hasn't really had any scoring chances. So he hasn't really been generating many offensive opportunities. To move on to the center position, the two players that played with Pacioretty and Radulov, there's Alex Galchenyuk, who we're going to talk about him more later, but he didn't produce much offensively either this week in those three games that he played with Max and Radulov. And then the other center was that played with them was Philip Deneau.
It's kept in. Sens can't clear. Turning around with the puck. Shaw. Another play in front of the net. They score!
And, well, what was that? That was Deneau's only goal in the last 25 games that he scored against the Ottawa Senators last Saturday. And I'm not here saying that Philip Deneau is a number one center, because I think we all know, we all agree that Philip Deneau is not a number one center. It's not his role. But when you're put into that position, when you're in that spot, well, there's an expectation that if you're number one center, you're going to have to produce as well. And, well, it hasn't happened. If we move on now to Alex Radulov, in his last seven games, so those are seven games since he came back from injury, he's only gotten two assists, and they were both in the same game as well. And while Radulov used to be the spark plug of the team, like previous years, he used to be Gallagher, who any line he'd go to, he'd make the players produce. That's what Radulov was at the beginning of the season, but since the injury, not much offensively on his hands as well. So, Rick, to me, that's why I named you could say the first line, whoever played on it, especially Pacioretty and Radulov, my losers of the week. But I don't think the Canadians have gotten enough from those guys lately.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the experts and even the coach had this all figured out. It was Alex Galchenyuk's fault. He was the one that, you know, he wasn't winning faceoffs. The first line was starting off without the puck, and he didn't seem to mesh with Pacioretty and Radulov. But as you correctly said, Radulov or Deneau hasn't done any better. And in fact, after Thursday's game, Deneau described his game as horrible. And you know, as you said, labels don't matter at this labels don't really matter anytime, but they don't matter at this time of the year. Doesn't matter if you are a top six player, a number one center. If you're in that position, you have to produce. Dano is not producing. Galchenyuk's not producing. But you know, as you said, whose fault is it? And Pacioretty is streaky. I thought he had a chance for 40 goals. Doesn't seem so. On the other hand, Radulov, you know, we were talking about him getting 20. And that seemed pretty, a pretty sure thing. At 15 now, that and the way his offense has dried up, doesn't look like it's going to happen. So I would tend to take a close look at Radulov, because he's the one that drives that he earlier in the year drove the offense, both from his attitude, his contagious attitude, his creativity. And he just hasn't been the same in terms of impact out there. And you know, there's not that many games to figure this out. Is who has more chemistry? Is it Radulov and Pacioretty, or is it Radulov and Galchenyuk, and then fill in the pieces around them? You know, flip side of the coin, Pacioretty, Radulov, and Galchenyuk, they're your top three point per game players by far. It's not even close. And so those are the guys that have to be, they have produced over the long course of the year. So they have to be relied on, but you've got to find something to reignite that spark that you talked about to get them going again.
And I'm wondering if this cold streak that Radulov is going through right now, if it's going to cost them some money when it comes to a new contract extension at the end of the season. All right, so Rick, why don't we move on now and you tell us who your loser of the week is.
My loser of the week is Canadians have had trouble, big trouble scoring. And, you know, that's well known. It was certainly evident this week when, you know, the Canadians are said to have a pretty soft schedule as they end the season. They've been through the tough part of their schedule, and facing the Red Wings and the Hurricanes this week, you know, it should have been a couple of wins there, and they managed two goals total. Scoring is been tough, and Mark Bergevin knew that last summer. He knew he needed scoring. He didn't do a lot to improve that. And then where it's crucial at the, you know, over the course of the season at the trade deadline, he did absolutely nothing. And, you know, the Canadians in the 16 games under Claude Julien, they have scored 34 goals, and that's second fewest in the league. When you look at the people that Bergevin targeted and brought in around the trade deadline, and I know he felt we needed more. The Canadians needed more grit, needed more character. But you have Steve Ott, one assist. Brandon Davidson, one assist. Dwight King, no points. Andreas Martinsson, no points. The leading scorers out of the 6 players that he brought in are Nikita Nesterov. Do you remember him? He hasn't played in a while, has he? He has a goal and an assist. It's 2 points. And yet he leads along with Jordy Benn. Jordy Benn and Nikita Nesterov are your leading scorers out of the players that were brought in around the trade deadline. So we tally these up, and we get 6 points from 6 players. You know who else has 6 points all by his lonesome? Sven Andrighetto. 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points. The player that was traded away to Colorado has the same number of points cumulatively the six guys that Bergevin has brought in. Now that's not fair because of different positions, and I understand all that stuff.
Different ice time. Different
ice time, different positions.
He would have been getting in Montreal.
Yeah, all of that, but when you look at what is needed for the Canadians, and that's offense, Bergevin didn't bring it in. And even when you look at any of those players individually, how have they made an impact? How have they won a game? How have they, decided anything? You can turn yourself inside out and not say, Steve Ott is helping with Galchenyuk with his faceoffs, and he's done this, and he's helped the penalty kill. And okay, I understand that, but what was needed was offense. I understand also the price was high, but there had to be someone out there that could have helped this offense, and Bergevin just simply didn't get it done.
Well, it's hard to argue that part, that when it comes to scoring, Bergevin is the one responsible when it comes to putting the players on the ice. During the offseason, he made some moves that were supposed to help the offense. We spoke about Radulov, and he has helped the offense when it comes for most of the season. We have Shea Weber, who has been doing his part as well to improve the scoring, but it's scoring in the center position is something that's been lacking for the Montreal Canadiens for many years. And while Bergevin, he still has to work on it. He still has to get to it. And while a lot of think this is something that it's the coach's fault, whether we're talking about Julien or talking about Michel Therrien, but the players that are on the roster that are coached by any coach fall under the responsibility of Marc Bergevin. And while you were talking, Rick, I looked at Sven Andrighetto with the Colorado Avalanche. He's beginning an average ice time of 16 minutes and 22 seconds, where with the Habs, he's beginning an average of 11:28. So that's an extra 5 minutes. So that's pretty much a 30% increase with Colorado as well.
So maybe he should have been playing a little bit more and playing more consistently, and has the talent to help out. That's a coaching decision more than anything. But I still feel, and the other part, and we won't get into this, but I've said time and time again that Bergevin waited too long to get rid of Michel Therrien. More than a year ago, December, the team collapsed. That was the time. The end of the year, that was the time. And then he waited. And the thing that we're seeing now is, it's not that, one coach leaves and another coach comes in and he flips his switch and the team goes to a new system and everything. There is damage done. There was damage done. A lot of damage done. And you look at, I know we're short on time here, but look at Mike McCarron. Right now, Mike McCarron is a player who's rotating in and out of the lineup. He's capable of 10 tough minutes per game, and he's not going to do anything to hurt the team. But what happened to Mike McCarron? Because Therrien was there, because Bergevin hadn't replaced Therrien, David Dernay was a roadblock to Mike McCarron. And Mike McCarron started in the AHL, didn't go so well when he came back, his attitude, and now he's a rotational player. So he's lost a year of development with a full year in the NHL, with starting in the with a full year, minutes, responsibility. Could he be an impact player right now? That's a good question to ask. And all of these things kind of reflect poorly back on Bergevin and the decisions that he's made.
So when it comes to the Michel Therrien firing, I think it's Claude Julien has been with the Canadiens for, I think it's 15 games that he's coached the team since the bye week. And I agree that there's probably some impact, some, I wouldn't necessarily say it's all damage. I'm sure there's some good things that Michel Therrien left behind him as well. But what...
He left a few ties for Julien, I think. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. What upsets me about this whole conversation is, for example, when Michel Therrien was coaching the Montreal Canadiens, a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, were saying that, you know, when Michel Therrien was the Pittsburgh Penguins years ago and he got fired, Dan Bieslak came in, took over, brought Pittsburgh Penguins to the Cup, and well, it was all because of Dan Bylsma, and it wasn't because of Michel Therrien. So that means, and if we're looking at the scoring, the lack of scoring of the Canadiens now, are we, if we're putting the blame on Michel Therrien, well, we should look at one point this week, the Canadiens were in an 8-2 stretch over the last 10 games. Well, let's give some of the credit to Michel Therrien and give nothing to Claude Julien. So I just find a lot of times when these conversations come up with Michel Therrien, it's always one direction, pointing finger, and he never gets any credit for anything. I'm not saying he was the best coach, but I don't think he was the worst coach either. He was, you know, somewhere in between in there, and that's about it. And I think we should, you know, get over it. The Michel Therrien firing, okay, he got fired, got replaced, and let's kind of sing and move on. So, Rick, now you upset me.
Good. That's a little emotion from you. That's great. I like it.
So we're going to move on to the winners, and I'll let you go first so I can calm down a bit.
You calm down. Okay, you calm down. Have something to drink. Have a cookie. My winner of the week, I don't think we've talked about him enough. You know, in the game recaps, I do plus minus. And for each game, you know, the players who have contributed positively and those who haven't. And when I look back just this week, Lekkonen's name kept appearing. I like Arturi Lekkonen. I like him a lot. And I think he's been a little bit underrated. He's been in the top 10 in goals by a rookie. You know, he's not a big name here. He's not a Patrick Laine. He's not, but for the Canadians, we forget that he's just a rookie. And he's been top 10 for goals in that category all season long. I thought it was interesting that Claude Julien admittedly said he didn't really know him all that well before he arrived. But the quotes were interesting, and there was a couple of things that I pulled out of that. Julien said he's a smart player, and he said it several times how smart Lekkonen is. He said he's trustworthy, and meaning at both ends of the ice, he can rely on him. Great forechecker, but very responsible in his own end. And Julien said that it takes time for young players, but that some of them figure it out sooner than others. And Lekkonen is one of those players who's figured it out at a rather young age. So I'm going to tip my hat to Arturi Lekkonen, who has been, you know, he's played both wings. He's played up and down the lineup. And each time he's given, you know, a great effort. And you've noticed him on the ice, and I really wanted to acknowledge him here this week as my winner of the week.
Yeah, no, that's a good choice. He did have a good game every game this week, and he was playing with Andrew Shaw in every single game, and then it was the rotation between Dano and Galchenyuk. He scored his 13th goal of the season against the Detroit Red Wings. still a young player. He's 21 years old, so he definitely has the potential of eventually maybe being a 20-goal scorer in the NHL. So I'm going to move on now and talk about my winner of the week. And, well, it's going to be Paul Byron. No, I'm joking. But
is that the ninth week in a row for yeah?
It would be the third week. But, you know, honestly, okay. He could have been a good option. He scored his 20th goal of the season this week. He was nominated to be the Canadian representative for the Bill Masterton Trophy for his sportsmanship, for his perseverance and his determination to hockey. So he would have been a good option. But I went to another player that we haven't spoken much about here on the Habs 360 podcast, and that's Canadiens' backup goaltender, Al Montoya. And I'm going to name him my winner of the week. He only played one game, the game against the Detroit Red Wings. He made the 34 saves. But one thing that stands out when you look at Al Montoya's recent starts, if you look at specifically the last five starts, the Canadiens have scored a total of 6 goals with Al Montoya in goal in the last 5 games. So you probably all remember it was an afternoon game against the Edmonton Oilers where it went 0-0 into a shootout. So he got a shutout and he lost the game. You know, it's hard to put the blame on the goalie in that one. The game against the Calgary Flames last week, Canadiens lost by a score of 5-0. Yeah, the stat line looks bad for Al Montoya, but the whole team wasn't there, and Al Montoya wasn't the cause of that loss. He hasn't been lucky, but he's been doing his job. He's been doing his role in helping the Montreal Canadiens. And let's hear the coach speaking about Al Montoya following the game against the Red Wings.
Yeah, no, I thought Monty was awesome tonight. Thought he played extremely well. He kept us in the game. He gave us a chance to earn that point. He definitely deserves better. You know, no doubt, you know, we should have scored or could have scored more goals to help him out. If anything, he certainly deserved a win tonight the way he played. So I liked the game a lot.
So Al Montoya's stats, 8-6-4 since the beginning of the season with a .267 goals against average and a .912 save percentage. So, Rick, Al Montoya, I think overall he's been doing his job this season.
I think he's been doing his job. You know, and there's things to be picky about. I didn't like the Abdelkader goal, the first goal against the Red Wings. Not because, I mean, Abdelkader was all alone, and I think it was Ben and Weber who had kind of let him sneak behind, and he got a couple of whacks at it. But the initial rebound, that's a shot that Carey Price directs into the corner. I didn't like the rebound. But like I say, when you compare them side to side, well, there just is no comparison. But as a backup, Al Montoya has been doing his job. And for the rest of the game against the Red Wings, he was very, very good. You know, on the other side, Al plays generally against weaker teams. But as you said, you know, he hasn't been getting the run support either. So I think that Al Montoya has done everything he's been asked to do. He's a reliable veteran backup who very much wants to be a starter in the league. I don't know if he's done much this season to, you know, to show the Las Vegas Golden Knights that he can be a starter for them or not. He's done everything that the Canadiens have asked, and a worthy candidate for. And just glad to see that you're off the Paul Byron thing for a week.
All right. Still to come on the Habs 360 podcast, we're going to tackle our question of the day: what should the Habs do differently to generate more scoring? But coming up next, I mentioned earlier that I'm tired of the discussion of Michel Therrien and his system and what he's done. Well, there's another debate that was on this week that I'm tired of, so we'll talk about that and more. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on Habs.net.
If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundations, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Sometimes, but you know, you see 17 minutes, I think four of those were power play, which I thought he did a good job on the power play. You know, 13 minutes at even strength. You know, he didn't have a good game tonight. You know, it's, and he's going to tell you the same thing. It was a tough night for him, so.
And well, those were the words that started a whole debate once again this week. That was Claude Julien speaking after the game against the Detroit Red Wings. Welcome back. This is the Habs 360 podcast, episode 204. Chris G with Rick Stevens from allhabs.net. And well, like I said, this discussion is coming back all over again. Is Galchenyuk a left winger? Is he a centerman, etc.? Because after those comments from Claude Julien, when it came to the next game against the Carolina Hurricanes, that game against the Hurricanes, Galchenyuk played on left wing. Let's hear more from the coach.
I think I just said that. I said we talked about Galchenyuk so much. We're overreacting to a simple decision to put him on the wing. Honestly, he's our fourth best goal scorer. He's a good player, and right now, you know, maybe he's trying to find his game a little bit. So I'm trying to help him find that part of it, and hopefully he can help, you know, our team, and he can help himself. And basically that decision is as simple as that. So, you know, again, I'm being honest in saying that the fourth best, you know, point getter on our team, he's a pretty good hockey player.
And, well, I agree with Claude Julien. Is it overreaction? I think there is. Like, we need to get over it. Like, we've had this discussion over and over and over. If he plays left wing, is he a centerman? Like, did anybody talk about, Andrew Shaw going from winger to center? Or that McCarron moves around from winger to center? Or what about Lehkonen, who plays sometimes left wing, sometimes plays right wing? Does anybody ever talk about that? No. Okay, so let's just... it's a coaching decision. Claude Julien is now the second coach who has moved Galchenyuk to the left wing. So maybe they know something that we don't. And another thing that I found, I'm bringing it back to the first discussion that we had in the first segment that I said I was fed up with. But if Michel Therrien would have done what Claude Julien did, which is put him on as a winger, the result of that would be that Fire Therrien will be trending on Twitter. If you go check on Twitter, you can go check today. Let's do the search for Fire Julien. And honestly, I did the research this morning. There's not even one tweet Fire Julien. when it comes to this topic. So why is it these different standards between these different coaches?
Here's Murphy, back for Slavin. Stood up by Jordy Ben on the big hit, and now Shaw coming in to Galchenyuk scores!
And what was that? That was the sound of Alex Galchenyuk scoring a goal playing in the left wing in the game against the Carolina Hurricanes, and he played a good game. One of the only players who played well, played as a left winger. That was his first goal in the month of March, and his first goal in the last 10 games. So that brings up the question, you know what, like maybe he is a left winger, and maybe he's not meant to be a centerman. Maybe it's just not for him. He might be more productive and might help the Canadians more if he plays as a left winger. So, Galchenyuk, Alex, what do you prefer playing? Do you prefer playing left wing or center?
I can play any position, wing or center. I don't know how many times I got to answer that, but, I felt comfortable playing wing today, too. So.
Yeah, so you tell him, Alex, you've answered that question like 1,000 times, and even this week you answered that question 1,000 times. You know, left wing, center, let's get over it. If playing left wing, let's let him play there. So, Rick, I'm going to pass the floor to you now. What do you think about this whole debate, Galchenyuk, left winger, center, or who cares?
Well, it's funny. I thought it was funny that Claude Julien's reaction saying that, hey, what are you guys doing overreacting to a simple decision? Does he know where he is? This is Montreal. This is what people do, overreact to any kind of decision. I was pleased for Galchenyuk the way he came out in that game against Carolina. You played the goal, but before that, he was robbed. He could have had a goal earlier in that game. It was Derek Ryan who slid across and Galchenyuk had a wide open net and slid across and saved the goal there. Eddie Lack was out of position. He played well in that game. So does that mean he's better suited at winger than center? I think he was better suited for that game. I think that, and I know you haven't heard me give props to coaches very often, but that was during the Therrien era. And you brought up Therrien after the break, by the way, so I can use his name again. But Julien, I think he handled the whole thing much differently. Therrien, when he demoted, so-called demoted somebody from the first to the third line, he was punishing. He punished the player. He wasn't, and we know from time to time, he'd even call them out, throw them under the bus publicly. But it was kind of, dismissive, kind of, okay, we'll toss you down to the third line, or we'll put you on the wing. I really liked how Julien handled this. And he met with him. They had a great meeting. Julien's approach wasn't one to punish. He was, I want to put a player in the position to succeed. And that's what a coach's job really is, to figure out how to create that environment that a player can do his best. And Galchenyuk's response to that approach was great. I'm fine with that. Just put me anywhere. I'm happy to go anywhere. I just want to help this team. It was positive. You saw that Galchenyuk came out flying in that game. And with a little less responsibility, not being at center and not being on the first line. He had a great game. So I understand the, part of this is because the Canadians don't have a first line center. And so there's, this is more crucial that the person that they, was the heir to the first line center position is somehow not suited for it. So I understand that debate, but I think at this point, Julien just needs to find him a place where he can contribute. And I don't know that it's going to be the same place every game. you know, he's got to be flexible. But for now, in that game against Carolina, anyway, he found a spot where Galchenyuk looked great.
And a reminder, we have a poll question up on the Habs 360 Twitter account. What position should Galchenyuk play for the remainder of the season, a left wing or center? Make your vote. We're going to look at the results in the next segment, and hopefully we'll never bring up this subject again.
Yeah, we're not guaranteed in the playoffs yet, too, so I think we want to solidify that first, and then obviously getting our game in order, like I said. There's been really good stretches here, and it's kind of the same thing. We just got to have guys buying in every night and playing the right way.
So now switching gears, that's Shea Weber speaking ahead of tonight's game against the Ottawa Senators. And, well, I think tonight's game, I'm talking about in this mini three-game series against the Ottawa Senators, where the Canadiens won the first two games last weekend. Tonight's game has the potential of being the most exciting game of these three-game series. Why? Because it's still a battle of first place like it was last weekend. From the Montreal perspective, they've lost their last two games and didn't look too good in those two games, so they should be hungry tonight. And as well, from the Ottawa point of view, they're probably looking for revenge from what happened in last weekend's games. And, well, they also have the return of Mark Stone, who's going to play tonight for the Ottawa Senators. So Rick, Canadiens, relatively easy time against the Senators last weekend, but tonight's game, Canadiens shouldn't take them lightly.
Yeah, well, one game went to overtime, didn't it? But the second game, they had an easy time. It was funny that after last weekend's home-and-home series that many of the sports guys were claiming that the Canadiens had just won the Atlantic Division title. Now, given what's happened against Carolina and Detroit, they're kind of back in the same position, and today's game is hugely important. I think that Claude Julien showed some frustration. He was asked about, is he happy to be juggling lines? Is he happy? And he said, no, he would prefer at this time of year to have set lines, to have lines set that he could trust. And right now he doesn't have that trust. So with eight games to work that out, it's not a lot of time. And you can't be too experimental when you have to win the game. So Canadiens have to win tonight. They have to improve their home record. They have to put away the Ottawa Senators once and for all.
Yeah, for sure. So that's definitely an important game for both these teams. And definitely the Canadiens need to play a lot better than they did in the games against the Detroit Red Wings and the Carolina Hurricanes. And probably Canadiens took those two games lightly, but they definitely need to step it up tonight when they face Ottawa.
Yeah, it's just, things are, we're in a good spot right now. Let's not, get dramatic or get too carried away here. We're in a good spot. We like our team. We're trending the right way.
So we're not going to get carried away. They're trending the right direction, which, I don't know, it's like the direction that I'm seeing is two losses in a row. But, hey, he's the captain. He probably knows more than we do. All right, still to come on the Habs 360 podcast, we're going to tackle our question of the day. What should Habs do differently to generate more scoring? You can let us know via Twitter at Habs360. You can also leave your comment on the All Habs Facebook page. And you can also give us a call toll-free at 1-877-455-4945. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects,
log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs related. That's allhabs.net.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs 360 podcast and Anthony from r2canvas.com are pleased to announce the return of the Habs contest this season. The contest will run during every Habs home game in the regular season and will give you the opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of r2canvas.com. Listen to the Habs 360 podcast and follow Habs 360 and Habs Happy on Twitter for more details. And for high-quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit r2canvas.com. Good luck.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. Don't live close to Montreal? Ever feel like you're the only Habs fan in town? Chances are good that there are plenty of fellow fans just around the corner, and HabsTweetUp.com will help you find them. If you're interested in hosting a hockey party in your city, visit HabsTweetUp.com for more details. You'll be connected to other Habs fans near you in no time. Ticket IQ, today's leading sponsor, is a leading event ticket search engine. Offering a low price guarantee on all events in Montreal, you will not find better deals on Canadians' tickets than through Ticket IQ. Download their mobile app in the App Store or Google Play and get $20 off your first order. Head to the App Store, search Ticket IQ, and be on your way to the best deals on Canadians' tickets.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
This edition of the Ice Caps Report is brought to you by AHL.report, your premier source for the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. AHL.report is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
All right, welcome back. It's episode 204 of the Habs 360 podcast. My name is Chris G, along with Rick Stevens. And, well, we keep telling you that Habs 360 is the most informative and interactive podcast that you'll find. And, well, it was just literally 2 minutes ago we received a tweet from CJ Castleman. And he writes, "If the focus was strictly on scoring, I'd remove Plekanec and Emelin from the lineup and replace with Charles Hudon and Joel Hanley." And while my co-host here on the Habs 360 podcast, Rick Stevens, he covers the Ice Caps, watches all the games, goes on the road with them as well. So he knows lots about these players. So Rick, why don't you tell us what do you think of that tweet from CJ Castleman?
Well, I mean, it's one thing to look at the stat sheet or and try to imagine how those players could impact at an NHL level, but it's a whole different thing when you watch each and every game. Joel Hanley is a pretty mobile defenseman and on the first pairing usually for the Ice Caps in all positions, power play, penalty kill. But, you know, I wouldn't put him ahead of any of the players that are already up with the Canadians and are in a rotational situation. And certainly not Emelin. I know CJ just has a hate on for Alexei Emelin, and that's fine. But Emelin has been, you know, since that bad patch, he's been pretty solid. Emmy being Emmy, I think Julien said. As far as Charles Hudon, you know, he's had a very good season, but he's just not ready for the NHL just yet on a regular basis. Nor is Nikita Sherbak. We don't see them creating an impact game in and game out at the AHL level, and I feel they'd have to do that in order to find a place in the Canadiens lineup. Just to update people on where the Ice Caps are, They're playing right now. They started about 20 minutes ago. They're up 1-0. A goal by Julien Brulette from Nikita Sherbak. They're playing the Hershey Bears today, a game today and tomorrow. It's part of an 8-game homestand that the Ice Caps are currently on. So far, they've done pretty well. They've got a 6 of a possible 8 points. They started out with back-to-back wins last weekend against Rochester Americans. Midweek, they're against the really high-scoring Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Kind of heartbreaker. They lost both in extra time. The first on Tuesday was 5-4. The Ice Caps had a 4-0 lead, lost that game 5-4 in overtime. And the game on Wednesday went into a shootout. They lost 3-2, but still picked up the loser points there. So where are they in the standings? Well, they're currently in the North Division. They're in fifth place, which has them on the outside looking in, but they're just percentage points away from, and that's how they do it in the AHL, is your winning percentage to determine your position. So it's they're just behind the Utica Comets and Albany Devils, and they're going to have to, winning both these games this weekend against the Hershey Bears could put them into a playoff position. Hershey's a very good team, though. They're about 12, 13 points ahead in the Atlantic Division, but in comparison, they're a strong team. So, if we're looking for, if the fans are looking for offense from the Ice Caps, that would be Chris Terry. He's still fifth in the AHL in points with 24 goals, 31 assists. He's got 14 power play goals. That's second in the league. You might want to look at Jacob DeLaRose. I know that many Habs fans don't think he can score, but he's on a tear. He's got 7 goals and 2 assists in his last 14 games. So he's been very, very good on both sides of the puck. And so those are players that, if a call-up was needed, and I don't expect there will be one, but you might look at Terry or DeLaRose.
This edition of the Ice Caps Report is brought to you by AHL.Report, your premier source for the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. AHL.Report is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
Well, we're not expecting a call-up, like Rick mentioned, from the Ice Caps. So our question of the day is, so what should Habs do differently to generate more scoring? Because if you look at the Canadiens offensively, a stat that was posted yesterday by RDS is that since February 1st, Montreal Canadiens have the worst offense in the league. They're 30th. They've played 23 games. And they've scored 44 goals. So that gives an average of 1.91 goals per game. If you look for the bottom 5 teams, it's the Kings, the Flyers, the Canucks, the Avalanche, and then that number 30 is the Montreal Canadiens. So they definitely need to do something to generate scoring. And it's a little bit worrisome considering that the playoffs are 8 games away. So it's not that far away. One thing that I think the Canadiens should do to help on their scoring is, well, maybe they should work on their power play because, well, in the last 10 games, 1-for-23 on the power play. They've been trying putting Max Pacioretty at the point to see if that does anything. I'm not a fan of that technique. I don't think Pacioretty is the kind of player you want at the point, somebody you want him near the face-off circle, trying to take a shot and score because that's what he is. And I think there's nothing wrong with having Markov and Weber at the point. We all know how talented, how skilled Andre Markov is, a good quarterback, has a good vision of the ice. So I don't see why Markov can't play on the power play. And if that gives the Canadiens one extra goal per game, well, that's definitely gonna help them out. Rick, do you have any advice for the Canadiens on what they could do for scoring?
I like the idea of the power play. You know, it's tough. You have the players that Julian has, the players he has. You know, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, as they say. So he has the players he has. The easiest way to get more offense is to focus on the power play. Make sure your power play is lethal, so that it helps your offense. And number two, that the opposition doesn't want to take penalties, and that opens up 5-on-5 play. So I earlier in the year, you know, the Canadians were up to, I think, number three overall in their power play. They've fallen off, as you said, with some really dry streaks. I think the focus is on the power play. And I really hate to say this, but I'm going to agree with you again. The Pacioretty on the back end doesn't do it for me. Markov is brilliant. He's got to be the quarterback. He's the way he's able to find people and thread passes, and the way he's able to perfectly set up Shea Weber. Those two have to be on the back end of your power play. And then it's a matter of getting traffic and going to the net and finding the rebounds. And I think for the Canadians, you know, one of the things, as you said, they haven't been finding goals, but their shooting percentage is down around 5.8%. Ridiculous. Their shot selection is terrible. They're shooting from the outside. They've got to drive to the net. They've got to screen, get in the way, you know, get some of those dirty goals. That's the way. That and the power play are the ways that they're going to improve their offense.
So let's see now on the Habs360 Twitter account, Ray Topping from Palm Springs, California. His advice is love the Habs. So I guess if you love the Habs, it will bring some positive energy to the Montreal Canadiens. Next tweet comes from Habs for Jeff from Kitchener, Ontario. He writes, nothing. Remember how they won the cup back in 93? Couldn't score more than 3 goals a game, but wouldn't give up more than 2 games. So we need to chill out, is the message from Jeff. Evan B. writes, free Hudon, durable enough. Who would sit to make room? Need big bodies too. Has he been blacklisted? Why going to Vegas? Hashtag confused. So thank you for the tweet, Evan, from... well, the mountains. Next tweet comes from Blaine Podvin, allhabs.net staff member. He writes, a call-up may help, but not as much as more shots on goal with traffic. Use the newfound size. Simple north-south play. Get greasy. So thank you for the tweet, Blaine. Marcel writes, it is necessary that Max score a goal absolutely tonight. Please, Max, score the goal tonight. Go Habs, go. So thank you for the tweet, Marcel from Montreal. And that's what we have on Twitter on that subject. Rick, what does it look like on the All Habs Facebook page?
Lots of comments on the All Habs Facebook page. You can put yours there, too. Just search for All Habs, all in word, on Facebook, and you'll find it. Leo Duick says, come to play. Instead of whatever it is they're doing. Kevin Bernard says they need some speed on their team. I guess more Paul Byron's is what Kevin's looking for. Rocky Pickering says start driving the net. It's good advice, and we mentioned something like that. Jeff Lewis says fix the power play. It's been awful the last few years. Bad the last few years. It, as we said, it's been good for part of the season, but yes, it's... It needs some tweaking right now. Joe Burns says, shoot the puck instead of passing all the time. Ernie Parento says, shoot the freaking puck. Sean Ryan says, shoot more. Never mind the fancy passes. So There seems to be a common thread here. They want the Canadians to shoot more. And as I said, I don't know that it's about shooting. I think it's about shooting from the right places, and their shot selection hasn't been very good. Betty Fitzgerald Nickerson says, go back to whatever they were doing the last time they beat the Rangers. So take that, whatever that template is, and do that, according to Betty. Troy Fleming says, make a decent trade or two at the deadline. Oh, wait, too late again this year. Gerald McDonald says, Weber needs to use his slap shots more, and the first line needs to get their butts in gear and start scoring. So I guess Gerald agrees with what we talked about in the first segment. Emily Sinclair says, the captain has to play harder and lead by example. Don't be scared. I guess I haven't noticed that Max Pacioretty is playing scared. This is Emily again. She says the Habs should skate like their lives are on the line. They should hit. They should bump and grind. And don't let them run our goalie. Play mean. Play mad. Go, Habs, go. That's a good one to end on, I think.
And we also posted on the Habs360 Twitter account a poll question. What position should Galchenyuk play for the remainder of the season, center or left wing? And it's pretty much down the middle right now. It's 49% center and 51% left wing. So it's pretty much down the middle. The poll is still active. So go ahead. You can still vote on the Habs360 Twitter account. On that topic, Marcel from Montreal sent us in a couple of tweets. He writes, I see him playing more on the wing because at center, I just see him skating around and with no results. But Alex Galchenyuk has a lot of potential offensively. He has good hands, and he's going to rebound because he has a talent. And Marc Bergevin does his best for his team. We can't hold that against him. It's not easy to be a general manager in the NHL. And regardless of what he does, there will always be people who won't be happy with his work. And he tips his hat off to Marc Bergevin. We also have a tweet from Ron Chart from North Ontario. He writes, a lot of people think that Marc Bergevin is a very good general manager. He's there since May 2012, and here's the result. The biggest weakness for the Canadians when before he came was a center position. And well, let's take a look at the center position right now. He writes, Dano, number one center, 11 goals, 35 points. Number two center is Plekanec with 8 goals and 25 points. And then the third line center is Andrew Shaw with 11 goals and 28 points. So thank you very much, everybody, for your tweets and your comments on the All Habs Facebook page.
Listen up. It's time for some bad tweets on Habs 360.
And Rick, well, you have a couple of bad tweets. You have a bad tweet to share with us.
Sure. I know that people get excited about players and certain players become fan favorites because, you know, they've got a good attitude or maybe they have a good beard. But this tweet I thought was a little, this is my bad tweet of the week. It comes from Corey Todd. He says, it's very clear that Jordy Benn will need to be protected in the expansion draft. You know, with all due respect to Jordy Benn, or Gimli, as many people are calling Gimli with a Lord of the Rings reference. Jordy Benn is likable. He's, been pretty solid. He's had his ups and downs. He's had a couple of bad games, but he's fit right in and been one of those fan favorite types. But I don't see the Canadians protecting him in the expansion draft in, you know, and if Jordy Benn is the player that's lost, great for Las Vegas and the Canadians will be just fine with that. So that's my bad tweet of the week.
We have a tweet. It was a joke that was sent to us by Jay Vaillant from Mascouche, Quebec. It's in regards to tonight's game between the Canadiens and the Senators. It's in French. I'll read it and then I'll translate it because it makes more, it's funnier in French. So he writes, Marc Métot est un droit d'affronter le CH ce soir. So the translation is, Marc Métot is a finger away from facing the Canadiens tonight. So there's an expression in French, un droit, that means he's pretty close in coming back. So that's a nice joke that was sent in by Jay. And for those of you who don't know why Marc Métot is mentioned, well, just YouTube Marc Métot and Sidney Crosby, and you'll have a good idea. Yeah, it was it's kind of graphic, so consider yourself warned if you actually search for that video. So, Rick, thank you very much.
Well, this is a busy weekend, and just to remind everybody that the Rocket Sports team covering the Ice Caps Hershey Bears game right now and again tomorrow. So if you want to follow along there on Twitter, it's the AHL Report, or the website is AHL.report. The Rocket Sports team is also in Brampton. We've got photographer, we've got a sports writer. The Brampton Beast, the ECHL affiliate of the Canadiens, has a huge series with the Orlando Solar Bears. That's the Toronto Maple Leafs affiliate. And in the Beast, you have Dalton Thrower, Connor Crisp, and Zach Fucali. So we'll let you know what's happening there. And again, at allhabs.net and at allhabs on Twitter, we'll have all the action from the very important game tonight against the Senators. Thanks, Chris. Been a pleasure as always.
And a special programming note that next week's episode, the live broadcast, will be at noon Eastern time. So you know, schedule your day accordingly. At noon Eastern will be the live broadcast. And then obviously the podcast, the on-demand edition, will be available on iTunes. Right after that, you can also search Habs360 on allhabs.net or on iTunes to find any of our old archived episodes. So a big game for the Canadiens tonight against the Ottawa Senators and a couple of other games against some non-playoff teams. We're going to talk about that and more next week at 2 p.m. Eastern when we come back for episode 205 of the Habs360 podcast. Enjoy the week.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.